Hi, this is Alina and Megan, and you're listening to Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast, where we dive into all things health, wellness, and fitness.
We are two certified athletic trainers, personal trainers, and nutrition coaches who met and graduated together from the University of Arkansas. And we want to do this podcast to spread our joy about treating our bodies well through nutrition, exercise, and knowledge.
Welcome today to Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast. Today should be our last episode of 2021. However, it's going to be coming out on 2022. Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you for listening. We will be doing a little reflection episode for the next episode, so be sure to tune in to our reflection on 2021. But for today's episode, we are so excited to have Allison Maris on our show. She is also known as Food by Mars, and that is what her website is, which will be linked below. She's a nutritional therapy practitioner and a recently new cookbook author, and her book is called The Paleo Gut Healing Cookbook. Allison herself has used food in a healing way to help manage her own Hashimoto's, thyroiditis, and PCOS. And on this episode, we do touch on that. We also talk about different healthy tips and tricks to help one have a more stress-free lifestyle. We also talk about gut health and the gut and skin connection. And this episode is jam-packed with information. So we know you're going to love it. Just sit back and relax. Thank you for being with us for another year. We're so excited to have you on. Let's start and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'd love to. And thanks for having me. So my name's Allison. I am a holistic nutritionist and an avid home cook. and I'm sure as your audience probably knows from wanting to be the healthiest version that they can be. Cooking at home is kind of a non-negotiable in a lot of ways. And I certainly found that to be true. I started my food blog, Food by Mars, years and years ago. After my health was declining, I started losing all my hair. My digestion was probably always crazy, and I just ignored it for a long time. I had the worst periods growing up. It was just, it all hit a wall, like in my mid-20s, basically. And I finally realized that following sort of the mainstream advice that I was kind of listening to for working out and burning myself out and just eating a lot of salads or being vegetarian or whatever the mainstream thing was at the time was just not working. And my body was really crying out. So finally, I just started cooking more at home. I was exploring that through my food blog, going gluten-free, dairy-free, and eventually more paleo. And then also working with different practitioners to figure out what the heck was going on in my body. I found out I had Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is an autoimmune disease affecting the thyroid, PCOS, and lots of digestive issues like SIBO, overgrowths, all the fun, sexy stuff that happens with that. And then that just sort of became its own journey. And I really just started exploring it more for myself personally, professionally, became a nutritionist, and then also supporting women to do the same. And now I'm publishing a cookbook all about gut healing. And I'm really excited to make it hopefully more joyful and easy for people.
Yeah, that's so awesome. So you were a nutritionist prior to all of this stuff going on. What were you doing before?
So before, I was basically working in marketing technology in New York City, and partly that was probably why I was burning out and my health was kind of hitting a wall. Not that I would blame it, I blame myself, but that's what I was doing. And so through the blog, what was interesting is it was kind of a creative outlet, and it was me exploring cooking from home and not just eating takeout all the time. Mm-hmm. And I really just fell in love with it. And I started seeing the differences and changes in my body. So I started going back to school, became a health coach, a nutritional therapy practitioner, and, you know, lots more education since then, but started practicing and really feeling, this is kind of just my personality, but I just kind of felt like I need to figure this out for myself. And then I need to prevent other women from going through the same struggles. And that's really the stake I took. And I just kept running with it.
It's amazing. It's so interesting how a lot of people in New York, especially in New York, you know, struggle. So you have such a great market there, but then also virtually, totally. Which I know you're like tapping into. We were just talking before about your reels and just your Instagram page. And obviously we'll link that at the bottom, but, or in the show notes, but can you talk more about, I guess, your book and gut health specifically? Yeah, just kind of go into that.
I'd love to. So I really, and I'm sure many of us have heard this, that, you know, the gut is kind of the root of everything with our health. It really is the linchpin. If we're not digesting, if we're not able to properly detox, like it's always going to come back to that no matter what's going on in the body. So, I really found that as something that I gravitated to, that I really felt like when my digestion was off, everything was off in some way. So loving to cook and loving food. That's another thing about being a New Yorker, being a foodie, going out to, right, like restaurants and it's such a part of our social lives is food. And so that it can get tricky when we're suddenly feeling like we need to eat a certain way for our health. So everything that sort of came along with that, I just really dove in deep. So on my blog, you'll find like hundreds of paleo recipes or at least gluten-free and dairy-free recipes. Because I just fell in love with the process. And, you know, the book is really a culmination of my personal and professional experience with finding ways to make this fun and doable and delicious, right? So we don't feel deprived and we feel like, oh, I can recreate foods that I grew up with or that are my absolute favorite from my favorite restaurants or whatever it is, to fit my food sensitivities and my health and my lifestyle. So there's lots of that. I have 75 paleo and AIP friendly recipes, which I can get more into what AIP is. And so that's kind of the stake that I took with that. That's my style, is really recreating food that I love. I'm multicultural. I'm half Hispanic, half Irish and English. And so I've got lots of multicultural foods and things that I love in there. And then also, you know, I start the book off, even though it's a cookbook, I start the book off explaining more about digestion. I really feel like knowledge is power. And we didn't learn this stuff in health class. We should have, you know, before worrying about like condoms and being scared of getting pregnant. I feel like it would have been nice to learn how our body functions at the most basic level. So I talk about that. And that was certainly game changing for me, just realizing like, oh, this is what happens. This is how we digest food. This is how many organs are involved, all the things. So I talk about that. And then I also share 10 of what I believe are the most impactful strategies to really create a gut healthy lifestyle, because you know how it is. None of this is a magic pill. There are no diets that are a magic pill. It has to be that you're creating your own lifestyle with this stuff. So I talk about things like mindful eating, which was a huge part of my healing journey and continues to be, which is really just a practice of being more mindful, slowing down, chewing our food, you know, again, sort of the basic mechanics that we all just kind of skip over. And it's like, yeah, what's the diet? What's the supplement? And it's like, no, but you're not even chewing your food. So it doesn't matter. So really just getting back to basics there. Things like how to properly prepare food for digestion. Sometimes, you know, we'll demonize, for example, I'm looking at low FODMAP, right? We'll demonize things like cauliflower and broccoli when they're very healthy foods that have a lot of nutrients in them. And really, maybe it's the way we're preparing it. You know, who knows? Let's play with it. So I talk about stuff like that. And then I also have a 2-week gut refresh meal plan to put it into practice, you know, not just kind of throw all these recipes at you, but say, hey, let's get you feeling better. Here's how we can start doing that. And I really try to help the reader customize it to what might be going on for them. So that's the book in a nutshell. And I'm stoked to get it out there.
That's awesome.
When does it come out?
Okay. So December 21st, depending when you're listening to this. So it's about a week away.
Oh my gosh.
Awesome. That's so exciting.
Wow.
I had a question about digestion actually. So I think a lot of people think that, you know, if you have digestive problems, it's going to manifest like in like a stomach ache after you eat or bloating, things like that. But that's, in my opinion, or to my knowledge, not always the case. Like it can manifest in a lot of other things. Could you maybe dive into that and like some signs that maybe you're not properly assimilating or properly digesting or properly detoxing?
Yeah, I love that. You know, to your point, like some people will have those common digestive issues that it's easy to say like, well, clearly my digestion is off. And then there's so many people that don't ever have that issue. They're having daily BMs. They seem fine. They're not having bloating. But instead, maybe it's presenting in their skin. Maybe they're having skin rashes or really bad acne that they can't get rid of. Maybe to your point about like, they're just not able to detox. So maybe they're not able to handle things like any kind of liquor or any caffeine, or things just kind of set them off. Another big tell-all with that is if you're trying to take supplements, like just vitamins, like a multivitamin, and you get sick right away, you just can't handle it. So, you know, there's so many different things. And the tricky and interesting thing about digestion being the root of our health is you can map so many things back to it. And so detox is so interlinked to our digestion. Liver and gallbladder are implicated in both, really. And so if we're not able to, firstly, be in a rest and digest state, that's our parasympathetic nervous system, then we're not able to digest, we're not able to absorb nutrients, and then we're also not able to detox, because that's the same nervous system state that detox will happen in. So that could be a really big tell-all. Hormonal imbalances, which skin sometimes falls under that category. But again, like things like the PCOS, things like, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, sorry to kind of skip over that. You know, other issues where if you start to hear like, oh, I'm estrogen dominant, I have too much testosterone, like whatever it is, again, like we have to think about detox. We have to think about, do you have the nutrients to create the hormones that we need in balance? You know, there's so many just like links to all of that. I'm trying to think if there's anything that I skipped over. Oh, well, also food sensitivities. And that might seem like, you know, a digestive issue too, but I think sometimes we just don't realize it. Oftentimes that's a symptom. You know, it's not always that the food is the problem. It's like we're attacking a symptom. Why are we getting food sensitivities? So many times when we do, it's this chain reaction where it's like, I can't have this. And then a month later, I can't have this. And, you know, it just keeps going until you have less and less foods. And that's because your gut is in need of healing, or it will continue to react that way. So that's some of the basics I can think of.
That's actually, go ahead, Alina. But
it's just interesting because I read something yesterday and it said something about like, food sensitivities aren't really against the food. It's actually more about your gut. And I was thinking about this and bringing it up because, I personally have had my own experiences, but also with other people, it's like once they take, okay, so now they don't eat gluten, dairy, soy, et cetera. Fine. That's better for your gut health for sure. But then it's like, okay, now I can't eat this vegetable and this vegetable. And it's like, well, why? You used to be able to eat that. So why is your gut reacting now? And that's kind of what you were just mentioning.
Yeah,
exactly.
You mentioned something about how like an elimination diet is not going to heal your gut.
Yeah.
So can you talk about how you actually do heal your gut rather than just like take away the things that seem to be, people think they're causing the problem, but really it's more of like an intrinsic problem.
Yes. Thank you for saying that, because, you know, those basically what you guys just brought up are two huge misconceptions that I see constantly. They're also pitfalls because people will start to overcorrect with diet. And that's what I see in my practice with clients all the time. It's that, oh, well, I'm check. I eliminated all the things. I must have to diet harder because this isn't working. And it's like, no. Put that tool down. There's about a million other tools we can be using, other avenues we could be going down. Get your diet on lock and then keep going. So to kind of address the first part, elimination diets alone do not heal your gut. We use it sort of synergistically in a gut healing protocol to say, okay, clearly there are things that are aggravating your gut, right? Whether it's causing those, you know, more skin downstream reactions of your gut health or fully causing a digestive reaction, whatever it is, we can see that there's things causing inflammation. And certainly gluten and dairy is a big thing, especially with, you know, me being more on the like paleo-ish world. So those things just tend to be really harmful, especially processed, refined sugars, hyperpalatable foods, all that stuff, because it's not food. It's engineered stuff that we eat. So we start by saying, okay, let's remove some of this inflammation. Let's get you some relief immediately while we heal the gut. And so that brings me to that next point of how we actually heal the gut. And so I do talk about this in the book a bit more, but we want to essentially, we start with eliminations and then we think about, okay, what are we eating? What, how can we use food as medicine and not just remove, 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 demonize broccoli, demonize chicken, like crazy things that we should be able to eat, and really get to a point of nutrient density. So things like bone broths or just broths, let's say you have histamine intolerance and you can't do a bone broth, you could just do plain broth. Probiotic rich foods like sauerkraut or kimchi, things in small moderation, or coconut yogurt, things that you can handle if and when you can handle. Everyone is so unique. And then also things like organ meats, seafood, fish, right? Like really, really great quality protein. So we want to be thinking about that, as well as diverse vegetables and fruits that give us all different phytonutrients, minerals, and vitamins. And so by removing that inflammation and including these nutrient-dense foods, we can start to absorb a little bit better. We can get the nutrients that we need to mend, heal, and seal the gut. Like, for example, in bone broth, we have L-glutamine and other amazing amino acids. In organ meats, we have iron, heme iron, really bioavailable iron, B12, really things that are crucial that we need that oftentimes we're not eating. We're not actually eating that way at all, right? We're just go, go, go. Eating from the pantry, you know, what's quick, what's easy. And so that's all well and good, but it has to include some of these things. So that's part of it, as well as really working to figure out what's going on. Is there, like I mentioned, I struggled with lots of different things, SIBO, parasites, overgrowths, right? You need to know what's going on and what is happening inside your body. So getting to a root cause answer, whether it's doing a GI map test, that's something that I do, but a stool test, right? With a practitioner that can help, you know, interpret it, create a protocol for you. Perhaps you need some supplements. Perhaps you need to do an antibacterial or an antifungal treatment on something that could be happening, because unfortunately, all the healthy food in the world is not going to get rid of that for you. So you do need to just dig a little deeper, seek out a practitioner. And you know, for anyone who feels lost on that, you want to look for functional medicine doctors, naturopaths, a nutritional therapy practitioner. A lot of my colleagues, like myself, can do a lot of this work too. So you want to be able to work with someone who's not just going to settle for chasing your symptoms around and is going to really say, hey, we need to dig deeper and find out why this is happening. Another thing that I did forget to mention earlier when we were talking about like what sort of symptoms could show up with digestive issues, your immune system is a biggie. That was a big one that I overlooked. So 70 to 80% of our immune system is in our gut. So this is why food sensitivities also occur, is because when we have leaky gut situation, which is intestinal permeability, this is when our gut's just been so beat up that food is now leaking out into the bloodstream and it should not ever be there. It should be, you know, safely contained in the intestines to move its way out. And to be absorbed, of course. And so when that's happening, our immune system is sort of launching these attacks, and that is your food sensitivity reaction. This is the hives, the skin issues, the digestive issues, you know, whatever it is that's happening for you. So that's another key component, is when you feel like your immune system is not up to par, or it's overreactive, or you do have an autoimmune disease, we have to go to your gut health.
Which the immune system happens to be a pretty high topic of conversation at the moment, sure. The last 2 years, I'd say. So that's just something to continuously learn and, you know, think about when ingesting food, is that whatever you eat is going to help or hurt your immune system. So
absolutely.
It's kind of just interesting. Can you also talk a little bit? I mean, you've covered so much in what we were just talking about with gut. It's really interesting, but you did mention something about like how you eat your food versus people are so concerned about what they're eating, but maybe talk a little more about how you eat it and why that matters.
Yeah. So again, like if we're overcorrecting, demonizing food, feeling like, oh, it's all about what I eat, we're missing a huge part of the puzzle. Because again, how many times, right? And maybe you guys have gone through this too. Like you eat the most beautiful, healthy salad, like in the world, mm-hmm. and you're bloated, or mm-hmm. you don't feel great after. Or, yeah. Like, why is that? right? So I think we can all relate to that. And hey, maybe it's because you inhaled it. Maybe it's because you were working while you ate it and your brain never even had time to register, like, oh, it's lunchtime. Like it, mm-hmm. you just kind of sneak attacked your body with food, right? So we do this all the time. This is our society. This is the modern day sort of dilemma where we're just always rushing through everything. So I talk a lot about mindful eating. I want to make sure, I think I sent you the link, but I have a mindful eating challenge.
I'm going to throw it in there.
Perfect. Because I love to just get people really practicing stuff. Like, let's not just talk about it. Let's actually practice and do it and see how it feels in our body. And so many times when people do that 5-day challenge, they're just like, oh my goodness. Like, I am really inhaling my food. And just one day of trying some of this stuff out, I'm not bloated. I'm not craving sugar. I'm not so many things. So how we eat is an enormous piece of it. And so things like slowing down, putting our distractions away. Why are we scrolling Instagram while we're eating? Why are we working right through our food? You know, like, it doesn't take that long to eat, 10, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. We can put the laptop down for that amount of time. All our work will be there. So chewing our food, I mentioned that. That's just a mechanical thing, right? And knowing that digestion begins in our brain, we do need to sort of take a deep breath. Maybe this is why, you know, cultures have always said grace. They always mm-hmm. do a gratitude, you know, practice right before meals. And it's like, it's really smart actually, because we get into a place of gratitude. We calm down. We transition from whatever we were doing to say, okay, now it's mealtime. Like, let's have some respect for this mm-hmm. and pay attention and be with the people we're with. How annoying is it to be eating with someone and they're not even paying attention? They're just scrolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, is that the worst, the most rude thing?
Yeah. Like food is an inconvenience, and as is your company.
Totally. Yeah. And so how else would you expect your body to treat it? We really need to just put two and two together with this stuff.
So can we talk about how stress affects the gut? And is it more than just, so if you're stressed when you're eating, or if you're always stressed and you're never not stressed, it's going to affect like your parasympathetic nervous system. But are there other things that stress does to the gut?
You know, that's one of the biggest things right there, because if you think about it this way, I like to think of the nervous system kind of as a light switch. So we have on or off, right? We have the parasympathetic, which is the rest and digest state. And then we have the sympathetic, which is the fight, flight, freeze, or fawn state. I'm actually starting to add that in when I talk about this stuff, because sometimes we might think like, well, I'm chill. I'm not in fight or flight, but you could be frozen. You could be holding on, or your shoulders could be way up to your ears. You got a pit in your stomach, or the fawn thing, which is a little bit more like the people pleasing, the putting everyone and everything else before you and your own needs. And so that, right?
Women in general.
Totally. Right. And even like when I'm dealing with moms or caretakers in general, it's just like, oh, well, you do. And before you know it, it's like, well, not only are you completely pouring from an empty cup, so what you're pouring sucks, like nobody wants it, but also there's nothing for you. There's nothing left for you. So it is a big deal, because I think sometimes we hear fight or flight and we're like, no, I'm not like that. I'm calm. So it's like, you might have this calm demeanor on the outside, but you need to think about like, maybe the stress response that you have is a little bit different, a little bit more unique. It's not anger. It's not shouting. It's not, you know, craziness. Maybe it is that frozen or the people pleasing or whatever it is. And so when we are operating from that state, the switch is turned in the opposite direction of rest and digest. You're not going to digest. Like, it's just so that simple, really. Like, yeah, of course there's probably some gray area in there, but it is important to realize when we are eating in that state, whether it's because we're in the kitchen and we're feeding the kids and we're not doing it, you know, we're not feeding ourselves. We can't even sit down. We can't even pay attention to the way we've built our plate. Is it balanced? Is it good? Do we like this? Mm-hmm. You know, we're inhaling food to get to the next appointment or Zoom meeting or whatever's going on. I just think that that's detrimental, right? That's 3 times a day you're doing that. So it really adds up every single day for how many years are you alive that you're doing this. Okay. So it really adds up. And that's the other thing we forget is like, well, no, I didn't do it like today. And it's like, okay, how about the rest of the 35 years you've been on this planet or like whatever, like how have you been eating? It's adding up. So that's a big deal. And then also stress in general. I mean, there's so many studies about like the way that it affects our microbiome. you know, the way it affects our bacteria to constantly be in that state. And one of the biggest things to also think about this as a linchpin is our vagus nerve. You guys like talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and for people who aren't familiar, that's the nerve running from our brain all the way down to our gut. And it's hitting everything along the way. And so that is where we have that switch of the two different nervous system states. And so the more we can activate the parasympathetic by meditating, breathing, gargling, singing, there's so many different ways to practice this on a daily basis that are totally easy, totally free. It will get easier to practice mindful eating and to practice more mindfulness and be in that calmer parasympathetic state that our body needs to be in to heal.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the only thing we can control, like if you, like Alina lived in New York City and then she moved, which is one solution, or you could just practice these mindfulness techniques to, you know, better deal with your environment, because living in the city, I mean, it's inherently stressful just because you have to like keep up with the pace, right? So if you start implementing even just these small things, like at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, you know, to improve your sleep, like I feel like it can make such a difference over the long term.
Oh, totally. Do you know what's so interesting? Something that I just realized. So I was using a sleep tracker. I have a 2-year-old, and before I got pregnant, we just moved out to like the suburbs in Long Island. So I'm not quite in the city anymore. Yeah. Are you familiar, Alina?
Yeah. I'm from Great Neck. So.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. I'm in Oyster Bay now.
Oh, so, beautiful.
Yeah. So much more chill. Like,
so it's like you're in a different world.
Different world. It's so sweet. Yeah. Which is great. But I'm like, okay, 40 minutes away. There's a train. You know, not that the last 2 years have blown up. So it's all like I've really been going. But I haven't tracked my sleep since I've had the baby, because it's like I'm not sleeping. It's pretty easy to know that I'm
not sleeping. You wake up the next day and you can feel it.
Totally. I think I know. But I'm like, you know what? Let me get back into this. I'm starting to track my sleep again. And I was looking at it. And what's so crazy to me is, even though I have interrupted sleep, like she's up every few hours, she wants me, like whatever it is. Even though I've always thought like, I was a great sleeper before this, like I would be out like a light, I was exhausted. I saw that I'm having even deeper sleep now, even though it's interrupted and whatever, than when I lived in the city. And I'm like, wait a minute. I thought I was an amazing sleeper and I just happened to compare it and it was way different. Isn't that insane?
It's like really fascinating. Cause also we don't realize like the city is loud, like all the time. And you could be in your apartment in Brooklyn or the city and there's just a lot of noise and you do get accustomed to it to an extent.
Yeah. So it's just like a part of you and you don't realize, you just normalize all these things.
You just like operate on a little more of a heightened level. And if you're already like a heightened stressy person, then your level is even higher than that. So it's just interesting, but that's really fascinating. I'm glad you're getting deep sleep though.
I know. It's like, at least I'm getting something.
You need it with a 2-year-old.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, when it comes to having a kid, like and this wasn't really part of what we were originally going to chat about, but I'm kind of interested with somebody like you who has such a nutrition background, how do you like introduce different foods your child? Like, how does that?
Yeah, it's interesting because so I have information and I know what I want to do with her. And then you are also operating with their uniqueness and their personality and what they're going to eat and do.
Sure.
But all we do is cook at home. It's 90-95% home, especially now that I live out here. I mean, it's not quite like I was in Astoria. I was in Queens before this. So much good food constantly.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Even like healthy, good food I could depend on, but now it's like pizzerias and, you know, randomness. Yeah. So there's really no good options at this point. So we cook all our food. So she's so used to that. Very, very little, like sort of even baby food or pantry food, but I'm lucky in that I work from home. And so I can do that a little bit more. My husband is with her most of the day. And so we can do that, but I've also been able to find really good, like paleo-ish or just really conscientious, like kid brands. Now one is Serenity Foods that I love. And they have these puffs that are made with bone broth and vegetables and cassava flour. Yeah. I'm like, oh, great.
I'm about to buy that.
Literally, like sometimes we eat them. We're like chomping on them.
Why not?
And most parents do that.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, mostly she eats whatever we eat. That's the thing with your kids is like, they're just going to eat whatever you eat. In terms of introducing, you know, when she was around 6 months, we just started low and slow, with some like soft veggies that we would steam and things like that and meat and all that good stuff. But she really just eats with us.
Yeah. A lot of people wait to introduce meat to their babies, but I've actually seen some people introduce it earlier. Yeah. And I think that's kind of interesting, or like liver, something like this.
Yeah.
Just different. Cause I've heard it's really great for brain development, et cetera. So it's just really interesting, like how people do that with their kids. There's different routes to take. And I feel like with your education, I don't know.
Yeah, totally. And you know, you see what they like too.
Yeah.
So we were lucky that because we eat all sorts of meat, like bison, elk, rabbit. Sure. Like we eat lots of different types of protein. We're not just kind of like chicken and fish steak all the time. So she's used to that. It's not weird to her. So she'll eat all that stuff. Like last night we had like a duck sausage that had liver in it, like hidden liver. She couldn't stop eating it. Like she ate all of mine. She ate her. I was like, great. Like,
wow.
So you find ways to like, if something's tasty enough and that's all they know,
right.
That's the easiest way. That's really the thing with them is like, you have to set the example. What's in the house and what you're eating is what they're going to eat. Yeah. So sometimes that's easier said than done, but that's kind of my best advice for that.
Yeah, no, I can attest to that because my dad, he's a vet, but he hunts. So I always had a lot of wild game. And then my mom is a dietitian. So I was like raised eating healthy stuff. So I was just like, I like this. This tastes good to me. And everyone else is like, ew, like give me some chips or something like that. I mean, it really is like what you're raised on. I mean, that makes sense because it's their world, right?
Exactly. So, they only know what you're bringing to them and what's in the house. So that's the easiest way to do it. Of course, they're going to get exposed at school or, you know, whatever. But before then, I have control. Yep.
Yeah. So what about like with gluten and dairy? Like she's two. Like, is that something that you are thinking about? I just am so interested.
No, it's a great question. A lot of friends with
babies.
Yeah, it's a great question. She's been gluten-free. And here's why. So I have an autoimmune disease, as we know. And so I've done a lot of research on like just the epigenetics. I come from a line of sort of autoimmune diseases. So I'm like a very proud line of autoimmune disease. So, you know, I really wanted to just be proactive and say like, okay, we know that what is it? Genes load the gun, but environment pulls the trigger. Right. And so things might just happen and it is what it is, but I'm going to do my best to prevent and keep her as healthy as I can. So I was just researching stuff and, you know, when you do have a mom with autoimmune disease, you just do want to be extra careful. Yeah. And when you're eating a certain way, when I'm eating a certain way as the mom, I want to just kind of share that with her as well, because I've been breastfeeding. And so she's already used to the foods that I eat, tasting it through the breast milk, even before I was feeding her solid food and all that stuff. So, you know, that's one thing. And then the other thing, which is interesting. So a couple years ago, reintroduced some good quality dairy, like goat cheese, sheep's cheese.
Yeah.
And I was eating it when she was an infant, like 3 months old and stuff like that. And she was reacting to it. So I could tell in her stool that it was changing. She was throwing up a little bit. So I had to stop right away. Even nuts and eggs, I had to stop too. Wow. So she was reacting. And so to know that right away, again, it's like, you look at their individuals, like they're going to have their own little thing. And so I'm just careful with her on stuff. And we do some dairy, like some cheese and things like that. Now we've been able to get that back for her, but just in moderation, nothing crazy. I'm not giving her like Easy Mac or, you know, crazy stuff like that. It's good quality stuff in moderation. And sometimes she doesn't even want it. So it's interesting. Yeah.
That's very interesting. People don't realize too, when like, let's say people are breastfeeding, like whatever you're eating, they're getting. So if they're having skin problem, if they're having like you just said, stool problems, any type of issue, any, you know, stomach issue too, like that could totally be what.
Oh, totally.
You know,
I've seen case studies with like where you do a stool test on a breastfeeding mother, and you see all these imbalances. And as you start to correct them, the baby is like benefiting from that. So there was this one case study where this baby had eczema all over his face, all over his body. Like the poor thing, he was so itchy, scaly, like in a lot of pain. It was red. Healed the mom's gut. The baby's healed.
It's interesting. So like, I had bad eczema starting at like 1-2 months old. So I find eczema very interesting. I don't have eczema anymore. But I had eczema till I was 25.
Wow.
Figured out. Yeah. So, and gluten and dairy were big things. So, I mean, but it's just interesting because now like you can, like you just said about epigenetics and like thinking about your environment. Like when I have a kid, like these are the things I'm asking because I find it interesting. I know our audience could benefit from it too, but.
Absolutely. It's really just exactly what you guys are saying that you've experienced from your own childhood. Same here. And then what you want to pass on is like, hey, the way I live and the way I eat is what inherently, even if you breastfeed, it's just biologically happening that they're going to get whatever you're eating. And then on top of it, when you do introduce the solid foods, it's whatever's in the house. And here's the other thing that a lot of like moms will know is that they see what's on your plate and they want what's on your plate. Mm. So you'll give them their little plate, cute cut up things. And then they're like, no, they'll like toss it off the thing. And they're like, I want what you have. So if you're having like a bagel and you want them to eat some healthy eggs and spinach or something, no, they want what.
Oh, that's so much psychology behind that. That's so
interesting. Oh, yeah. Wow. So that's the other thing is like, anytime I have something I don't want her to have, I'm like hiding it or, you know, turning my back. I'm like, no, this is gross. This is medicine. I don't know what it is. Mind your business.
That's so funny. Yeah. Oh my God. That's hilarious.
So we have a couple of questions that we always ask every single guest, and I'm actually really curious to hear about what yours are. What is something that you do every day, or at least most days, to move your brain, move your body, or move them both?
Oh, I love that. I journal every day, every morning. Mm-hmm. I do gratitude journaling. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the holistic psychologist, Dr. Nicole Perla. Yeah.
Yes, I love her.
I love her. I started reading her book, and she has like a little download that goes with the book on future self journaling. And I had done like some flavors of future self journaling before, but I love her. It's just a very concise sort of script. So I've recently, the past month or so, have been doing that as well with the gratitude journaling. And I love it. It's a great way to set an intention. It's a great way to just sort of think through like, what do I really want to embody and focus on today that is getting me towards that future self? So I highly recommend just checking that out. It's a great, quick, two minutes. This does not take me long at all, but it sets me up for my mind and definitely my body too, because again, like, as we know, stress and being more mindful is going to affect the body. And then I also, we have our common friend, Dr. Emily Kybird. I do her program Thyroid Strong, 3 times a week. And in between I do yoga. I'm also a yoga, registered yoga teacher, but I don't actually teach. But so I love just, you know, doing that to move my body, stretch and breathe.
Amazing. That's so great.
So I'm in PT school right now. I actually just finished my first year.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yesterday. It's been a whirlwind. I kind of like started journaling a while ago, and then it's been so crazy, but that's even more the reason to do it. So you've inspired me just now to start again, especially I go into clinicals.
I love that. I hope it supports you. Yeah. I think it's so helpful. And when we're in such a busy season of life, like school, like working or motherhood or whatever it is, I find that it's such a saving grace for me. It's like free therapy. Yeah. I can detox my thoughts, all my million thoughts that I have stuck in my head, and I can just move on with the day. So I hope it helps.
Amazing. Well, so we're going to put all those links that you sent me in the show notes here. Great. And then your book comes out next week, right?
Yes.
So that's totally super exciting. Yeah. I'm going to buy it, but you have to sign it for me when I come to New York.
Well, okay. That's totally fine. I'm just sending you guys your copies anyway. So don't
worry. I want a signed copy.
Obviously. We'll get some, you know, matcha or something.
Yeah, please. I'm going to be there in January. So I'll reach out to you.
Hit me up. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally will. Steal my mom's car for a day and come by.
Love it.
And then if people want to work with you, I know you have a lot, you're offering a lot. So where can people find you via Instagram or your website?
So, you know, feel free to DM me on Instagram. I'm at Food by Mars or foodbymars.com. I have one-on-one practice. I have group coaching. I have meal plans, lots of ways to support you depending on what you need. So don't be a stranger. Just reach out.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was so much fun.
This is great.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast. Join in every week as we release new episodes.
Subscribe or leave us a rating at Apple Podcasts. If you have questions or topics to cover, please email moveyourbb@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @moveyourbb.